This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
My fellow Americans, welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425, should you wish to be on the program. Those of you who are on the phones, my apologies to you for not getting to you, because I've been in like update hell on my end of a call screening. The program I got to use to connect into the call screening program. But it has finally updated. And so I can actually get in to answer phone. So I will try to take your calls this segment, at least by the end of this half hour, put it to you that way. My apologies. It's a technical issue. It's my computer. No one else's fault. Just little old me. Now, I want to move on to the thing you should be outraged about. I have just a philosophical problem with a lot of guys on my side right now and how they do politics and how we run campaigns these days, and that people try to whip you into a frenzy to be outraged about everything. And at some point, it just becomes not sustainable and it burns people out. The constant outrage, the constant anger, it does eventually burn people out. So, for example, there is no reason to be outraged about the use of force provision in the FBI's search of Mar-a-Lago, because it was a pro forma thing that they put in every search, including Joe Biden's house. Anywhere the FBI searches under a warrant, they do that. Now, you know, when I say that about Joe Biden's house, I'm not sure if it was a warrant, but it is standard for warrants for them to be able to do it. I would say they should have made an exception and not put it in Trump's. But at the same time, remember, it is a factual statement that they coordinated with the Secret Service to make sure Donald Trump wasn't even going to be there. Donald Trump, they knew, was in New York before they began the raid. So the hyperbole and hysteria out there from the right, it's just discrediting. So when the time comes to actually be outraged, then you burn out on it. And it's frustrating, because there are times you need to raise people's awareness. But when you've been Chicken Little the whole time, or the boy who cries wolf, people get distracted and they're like, they're upset about something else. This is the thing you should be outraged about. The president of the United States, Joe Biden, has decided to release gas reserves, to sell gas reserves to lower the price of gas to help his reelection. That you should be outraged with. And the reason you should be outraged about that is because he's done it with the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which is separate from the gas reserves, and he has whittled away our oil and gas reserves that are called strategic for a reason. If something happens, whether it's a oil boycott by Arab nations or a war, we need those petroleum reserves. Donald Trump released some, and when the price of a barrel of oil was $30 a barrel, the Senate Democrats blocked Donald Trump from refilling the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Now the price of a barrel of oil is far higher, and the cost of refilling it is going up, and it's all been politics. And it was politics by Trump to release it, but it was politics by the Democrats to block him from filling it back up. And it was politics from Joe Biden to release more. And it's politics from Joe Biden to release the gas, because Joe Biden is concerned about inflation, not because he's concerned about inflation, but because he's concerned about his election. Every time you go to the grocery store and buy groceries, part of the price of whatever you buy is the gas price. Now, let's think about that. How do they determine the price? Let's take a can of green beans. Part of the can is the cost of growing the green beans and harvesting the green beans and the machines used to harvest the green beans that run on gas. Part of it is the cost of the can itself and the label. Part of the cost is the transportation to the grocery store. So the transportation from the farm that is used by gas, the transportation from the farm to the canner, from the canner to the labeler, from the labeler to the grocery store. All of that is gas. So as gas prices go down, inflation begins to go down. It's something that the Biden administration has refused to grapple with because it impedes their climate agenda. The climate agenda that the Biden administration is pursuing necessitates expensive gas. The problem is Americans don't like paying higher prices at the grocery store, and Americans don't like paying higher prices at the pump. And so Joe Biden must balance out the Green New Deal with the reality of people are furious with high prices. You bring down energy costs, you begin to fight inflation more than what the Fed is doing. You expand oil and gas production in this country. Remember, it's a futures market. You start opening up more portions of Alaska instead of restricting portions of Alaska. You bring down the price of a barrel of oil today in anticipation of a glut of oil coming to the market tomorrow. It's a futures market, not a present market. The problem here is that Joe Biden, the Democrats, and much of the American media have internalized the idea that Donald Trump is the threat. Donald Trump is the existential threat. Donald Trump is the thing we must be concerned about. So they're not as concerned about China. They're not as concerned about Russia. They're not as concerned about terrorists. They're not as concerned about terrorists possibly coming across the border. They're just not concerned about those things because they think Donald Trump is a bigger threat. They think an American potential president is a bigger threat to America than those countries that actually wish to destroy us. Donald Trump is many things, but he is not the existential threat that Democrats have internalized. Joe Biden is risking our national security to placate the Democratic left with an open border. What's his name? The Secretary of Homeland Security was on with Neil Cavuto. They had this exchange.
Neil, we took action a long time ago, and migration is a very dynamic phenomenon, and we are seeing the results that take time to take hold.
They took action a long time ago, and they're only now seeing the results of it, except we've still got a stream of people coming across. We've still got cities overwhelmed, and not just red states, not just Texas. You know, it was genius of Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis to ship illegal aliens around the country. Greg Abbott's still doing it, trying to relieve some of the constraints and strains on Texas, shipping illegal aliens to other parts of the country. The federal government is doing it as well, and they don't want to mention it. They want to blame Greg Abbott and not acknowledge they've been doing the same. Y'all, this is the thing you should be outraged by. The president of the United States is jeopardizing our national security. He's ruined relations with Saudi Arabia and oil producers in the Middle East. He wants to prop up Iran and Venezuela, two oil producers that are not our friends. And it's all because of his election. And now this is part of the problem. If Joe Biden were to get reelected, He doesn't have to worry about you after that. So he's playing the short-term game of trying to reduce energy prices for you, and after he gets elected, screw you. All in on the Green New Deal. Your prices are going to skyrocket. He's going to wreck the economy. He's going to push you into your battery-powered vehicle. Joe Biden will no longer be accountable to you, the voter. He no longer has to humor you. He's no longer got to placate you. And we can see right now for his election, he's desperate to get your vote, and he's willing to sacrifice your national security. What happens if war comes? I'm increasingly concerned about the direction of the world. You can see Iran, Russia, China, North Korea, Venezuela, they're aligning against us. South Africa is giving harbor space to the Chinese military. Countries in the Caribbean are openly flirting with having a Chinese naval presence in our backyard. The Chinese are moving people into Mexico, which itself is a failed state with the cartels in alliance with the Chinese. That doesn't get talked about enough. This Eastern Axis is not just aligning against us, it's lining up around us. And it's trying to strangle us financially. You know, during the 1980s, Ronald Reagan realized that we could outspend the Soviet Union and drive them to collapse. The Chinese seem to have made a similar calculation about us. Now, it's not going well for the Chinese. If we're honest about it, the Chinese are actually doing worse than us. The financial situation in China is just desperate at this point. Banks are collapsing. They have this entire underground lending operation in China that local governments partake in, and it's collapsing. The financial crisis is starting to spiral in China. Xi Jinping is going to need an exit hatch, and that may mean war. And if the war comes, we don't have a strategic petroleum reserve because Joe Biden spent it all, gave it all away in order to win your votes. We don't have a strategic gasoline reserve because Joe Biden dumped it all into the open market to lower prices to win re-election. The Democrats convinced themselves they must stop Donald Trump at any cost. And in the process, they've made the United States more vulnerable than ever before. The FBI feels fairly certain that terrorists have crossed our southern border and have gotten away from federal authorities and that they are in this country. Today, German authorities found explosives and detonators buried near pipelines that NATO relies on for fuel production. And people are already blaming the Russians, sabotaging an oil pipeline NATO uses. The world is increasingly unstable. And Joe Biden, the president of the United States, is more concerned about Donald Trump than the stability of the world and the Western alliance. Joe Biden views stopping Donald Trump as more important than stopping our enemies. Joe Biden views stopping Donald Trump as a greater priority than helping our allies. Joe Biden is bringing instability to the world and risking our national security all to try to bribe voters to stop Donald Trump. He's doing it with student loans. The Biden administration, Bloomberg is reporting today, is looking at more student loan debt forgiveness despite what the Supreme Court told them to do and not do. They're trying to find another way to backdoor it in, raising more fiscal calamity in the United States, causing our debt to explode, putting our fiscal circumstances at jeopardy. Part of me wonders if this is all part of the design. So many people on the left hate the United States. They're perfectly happy to put us behind China because they think that's what we deserve. And, you know, sadly, there are some on the right who think the same thing these days. They flirt with Viktor Orban. They flirt with Chinese and the Russians. There's a whole lot of America hatred on the far left and the far right. The horseshoe theory played itself out. But the fact of the matter is that this president has decided to bribe the American public through student loans, through lower oil prices, lower gas prices, through artificial means that jeopardize our national and fiscal security just to win re-election because Joe Biden has convinced himself Donald Trump is a bigger threat to us than those countries that are actual threats to us. And he shouldn't be rewarded for it, and Americans should not take the bait.
When the world seems crazy, he'll keep you sane. It's the Eric Erickson Show. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
I have to correct something I said earlier. Ultimately, the FBI did not use its use of force language in raiding Joe Biden's home because as they were in the process of getting the warrant that had that language in it, the Biden team invited them onto the property, so they didn't have a warrant after all. Had they used the warrant they were seeking, the language would have been there because it's pro forma standard language in every FBI search warrant in any event. We move on to the phones. Claudia, you're going to be up first. Welcome.
Well, hello, Eric. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I've enjoyed your program for quite a while, but I have a couple of questions for you about in the event that the New York jury finds President Trump guilty of the felonies. The first question is, will President Trump be able to vote in the November election for himself?
If he's found guilty, being a felon, he would not be allowed to vote.
Oh, okay. Well, that's going to make him very angry, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
And then my second question is, if he is found guilty, do you think that, I know he's going to appeal, but during that period of time, do you think that the judge will put him on a high bail and or maybe house arrest with an ankle monitor so he can't go out and campaign?
You know, I actually don't think the judge will do anything like that, in large part because it's such a minor felony.
You're dealing with the Democrats.
That's true. That is true. However, I think everyone, including the Democrats, are starting to realize that keeping Donald Trump tied up in the courtroom has actually been good for Donald Trump. So they'd really like for him to get out on the campaign trail even more and start being seen and overexposed. So I don't think they would. I really don't think so. Now, I mean, I could be surprised on that, but this isn't really even a jailable offense. The penalties for it tend to be more fine than jail. So they may charge him with a lot of money, but not send him to jail. And also, there have been so many questionable decisions made given the way the appeal would work. I just don't think he winds up even under house arrest during an appeal for something like this. I think they wait and let the process exhaust itself. And I'm totally willing to be wrong. I could be wrong on this. But under the circumstances, the documentary fraud is just not a serious crime. What Michael Cohen did in stealing money is actually a greater crime than anything Trump is alleged to have done. And I still don't think he committed a crime. We'll see what the jury says. By the way, I do have to say their closing witness, the defense's closing witness, I don't think was helpful to him like they think. He just became belligerent and probably turned off the jury. But nonetheless, not anything near as bad as what Michael Cohen did or admitted to doing. But we're almost done with that, aren't we? Now, I got to tell you, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, I'm glad to have them back. They've helped so many people. I'm taking one with me when I'm out of town next week because, you know, you go to Las Vegas sometimes, you never know what your hotel room's going to smell like. And the Eden Pure Thunderstorm wipes out smoke odors. I've used it in a rental car, y'all. I had a rental car one time. The thing stunk so bad, like I could smell it as I was getting to it. And the smell was stronger and stronger and stronger. People just smoking in the car. But I used the Eden Pure Thunderstorm in it. I plugged up the USB cable, started the car, let the Eden Pure Thunderstorm run for a little while, just walked away and came back, and it wiped out the odors. That's how good it is. That's why I love talking about this product. It just works. Musty odors, litter box odors, pet odors, frying odors I use in the kitchen. If I fry shrimp, my wife hates the smell of shrimp, can wipe out the odors. They just work. And it's an air purifier, too, so it gets rid of the dust, the pollen, the mildew, everything floating in the air. You go to EdenPureDeals.com, and you put in Eric3. You can buy three of them and save $200. Eric, and then the number 3 at EdenPureDeals.com. Get one for upstairs, downstairs, your basement, your travel bag, your RV, wherever you need them. They wipe out the odors, and they just work. EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is Eric3, Eric3.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, even when it isn't popular. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Greetings. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson. Just so you know, at 2:05, 2:06 p.m., if you're listening live, the top of the third hour, if you're listening in delay, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin is going to join me. They've been investigating Fannie Willis and wants to talk about that investigation and the the way the Democrats have tried to align to get Donald Trump in these prosecutions. Looking forward to talking to him at the top of the hour. Now, we got to talk about Gaza for just a moment. I've been kind of deeply laughing about this. On October 7th, 2023, Hamas invaded Israel. There was a ceasefire and a peace. They broke it in a horrific, brutal manner. Per capita, more people died in Israel than died more people died in Israel than died in the United States on 9/11. There were more people killed in the United States on 9/11 by the number, but in terms of percentage of population, the deaths in Israel were much higher impact to population, in addition to the hundreds taken hostage back to Palestinian territory, many of whom have subsequently been murdered, women brutally raped. In fact, several of the women who have been recently murdered, it seems like they didn't want them getting out to talk about what happened to them. One of the most disturbing aspects of this as well has been people on the left refusing to believe the truth. Going out of their way to deny, for example, the sexual assaults on the women. Going out of their way to deny the eyewitnesses who saw the babies burned up in the ovens. Going out of their way to deny the eyewitnesses who saw the decapitated babies. Going out of their way to deny the atrocities. They couldn't grapple with how horrific it was, and so they just chose to not only deny it, but to lie and harass anyone who spoke the truth. They tried to shout down the truth with lies. Concurrent to that, though, were those on the left who simply were too ignorant to learn the truth, to know the truth, to even understand what's going on. It's a sign of the bubble they live in. Chris Hayes is an anchor on MSNBC. And last night, he replied to a tweet from Laura Seligman, reporter, who quoted one of the U.S. officials about the humanitarian aid being delivered to that pier in Gaza. Ryder, who is the official, says, quote, "I do not believe any of the aid that's been delivered through the pier has actually gotten to the people of Gaza." That's right. Those of us on the right told you this was going to happen. Laura Seligman, the reporter, reports that according to the officials manning the pier, they said, "We don't believe any of the aid that's come through the pier has actually gotten to the people of Gaza." Chris Hayes on MSNBC tweets, "Wait, what? Wait, colon, what? Exclamation point, question mark, exclamation point." Tells you the bubble that Chris Hayes lives in. Tells you the bubble that MSNBC viewers live in. It tells you the bubble in antipathy of the truth for the left out there. Aid began pouring into Gaza on October 18th. Hamas invaded on October 7th. Israel immediately takes a war footing, but deliberately slows its advance into Gaza. Aid begins to flow, humanitarian aid, on October 18th of 2023. Just over 7 days after Israel had been attacked, aid begins flowing not to Israel, but to Gaza, and very little of it has gotten to the people of Gaza. I've told you this. Republicans have told you this. Israeli officials have told you this. Even John Kirby of the National Security Council has said this, and Chris Hayes is shocked, shocked, I tell you, that none of the aid has been delivered. Where is this going? It's going to Hamas. When Israel began to invade and took control of some of the tunnels underneath Gaza, you know, Hamas has used the money that has flown into Gaza to build this elaborate underground operation. massive tunnels, not tunnels that you crawl through, but tunnels that you walk, tunnels that have conference rooms, an entire underground city under Gaza built by Hamas using the humanitarian funds that have flown to Gaza. They have tunnels that go under the Egyptian border so that supplies can funnel through undetected underground to Hamas. And when Israel captured some of those tunnels, they showed videos of pallets of food aid marked with the UNRWA logo and the United Nations logos and USAID logos that were inside the tunnels underneath Gaza, and they were being used by Hamas. Hamas got fed. Hamas got nurtured. The people of Gaza starved. And meanwhile, the people like Chris Hayes from MSNBC and progressive activists and Al Jazeera and campus activists have all said Israel was committing genocide and starving the people of Gaza. So what we heard, there was famine in the land. The people of Gaza were starving because of the Israelis. Meanwhile, the aid has never made it. And they're shocked and surprised to learn what none of you are, because all of you have known all along this was going to happen because you listened to me. For 6 months, people have been pointing out the problem is not the aid getting in, but the distribution. Hamas steals so much, resells portions of it. It's all been to manufacture the narrative that Israel was starving the people of Gaza and creating a famine. But here's the notable thing to me. Like in many cases, Charlie and I were talking about this before the show, I had presumed that these guys were just anti-Semites and in bad faith. But Chris Hayes seems genuinely shocked to learn what's going on. Seems genuinely shocked to learn that the people of Gaza are starving and not getting humanitarian aid, not because of Israel or the United States, but because of Hamas. He really seemed to believe that a pier built and controlled by the United States could undo what Israel was doing, and Israel wasn't doing anything to begin with. The level of shock. It's kind of funny, honestly. The level of shock. And this is a man who provides the news. This is a man who delivers news analysis and doesn't understand these things are going on. You know, one of the things I have to do, I get asked this question a lot. In fact, when I was in Rhode Island giving the speech on Saturday, one of the questions that I was asked is, how do I show prep? Charlie and Philip will both tell you as well that I do my own show prep. They certainly fill in the blanks for me. And sometimes, like, we have a Slack channel, and we all funnel articles into it. Oftentimes, they're the same articles. But like this morning, I got up at 7:30 and began outlining the show. I've got a day ahead of me. I'm doing 7 hours of radio today. And so I got a day ahead of me. So I went to the gym this morning at 9:30. I got up in the morning at 7:30, made an omelet, and began doing show prep. And show prep for me is I read everything. I don't read for pleasure anymore. You know, I'll be gone next week. We're taking the kids. My daughter wanted a combined graduation and birthday present trip. And so we're doing it. And normally I spread out my trips. I had spring break, in the beginning of April, and now suddenly here at the end of May, going on another week-long excursion, then I'm kind of done with vacation for the year till Christmas. But along the way, all I do is I read. I read newspapers. I read magazine articles. I read the things that are put on social media, and I read news. I don't read for pleasure anymore. I keep next to me, and I've got a Bible right next to me. You can't see it on the camera, kind of, sort of. And I try to, when I get to the office, just read a chapter, just so I'm reading something in the Bible every day. And I'm even bad about doing that. It's been several days since I've actually turned to my side. I make it as easy as possible for myself and still don't do it. I suck at it. But I suck at it and suck at reading for pleasure because I read newspapers every single day, nonstop. I do nothing but watch the news and read the news, and I do it for you guys. I do it because I love this job, but I do it in a way that makes sure that I catch stuff. So I'm reading left-wing sites constantly. I arguably read left-wing sites more than right-wing sites. And I read the left-wing sites. One, they tend to be more readable and put together. But two, I want to know what the opposition is saying. I want to know what lies they're peddling. I want to know what their spin is on the facts. I read the Epoch Times. I read the Washington Times. I read the Washington Examiner. I read the New York Times. I just canceled my subscription to the Washington Post because I cannot in good conscience continue to send money to a Hamas propaganda organization. I read the Wall Street Journal cover to cover, for the most part, all the sections of the Wall Street Journal. I read the local papers here in Georgia. I read articles from The Atlantic. I read articles from Time. I read articles from Newsweek, although Newsweek isn't that great. I read a lot of stuff. I go to the Drudge Report still. I may be the last person doing it, but I go there because it's a clearinghouse for links. I go to several websites that aggregate news stories. I use the Apple News app on my phone, and I read news stories. From the left, I read them from the right. I read them from the center. I read them from mainstream places. I read them from partisan places. I get on Reddit now, and I use the news on Reddit, the news aggregators on Reddit, and I just constantly read the news. And the reason I do it is because I know the right leaves out stories and the left leaves out stories, and the centrists leave out stories, and the media is notorious about telling narratives and not facts. They're not really interested in telling you the who, what, where, when, why, and how anymore. They want to put a partisan spin on stuff. And so I find that I've got to do twice as much reading now as even really 5 years ago, just to make sure that I have an accurate sense of what's going on. Like, for example, the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. I would have been whipped into a frenzy had I not actually read the document. I was a lawyer. I recognized the pro forma nature of the language just by virtue of having been a lawyer. But then reading the articles and the commentary from people familiar with the FBI operations, no, this isn't something unusual. And, oh, by the way, they coordinated with the Secret Service to make sure Donald Trump wasn't even in the area when they got there. All things true that if you're just reading right-wing sites today, you're not going to have any sense of that. You're not going to have the truth of it because the right and the left together leave out key details because they want to push outrage. What I find, though, this isn't a patting me on the back, tooting my own horn thing. What I find is that I just presume that anyone in the media who sits behind a microphone or a camera is doing the same damn thing, and clearly not. Chris Hayes is stunned to learn what I have known this entire time, stunned to learn a fact that has not been in dispute by anybody, stunned to learn the aid in Gaza is flowing to Hamas, not to the residents of Gaza. It's been a manufactured talking point by the left. But here's the thing. And at the end, this is probably the most important thing. When I am lied to or misled regularly by my side or the other side, you know, I have little radars and flags that go off of, huh, maybe I should be doing more. Maybe I should go in different ways. Maybe I should think about this differently. And maybe I should consume other news. I guarantee you Chris Hayes is not, having learned this, going to think, huh, maybe I should be listening to other people. Oh, my gosh, no, because inside his cloistered bubble of left-wing pablum, he's happy and contented knowing it's the fault of the Jews. He'll go back to ignorance as quickly as he possibly can because, God forbid, a leftist realize he's being lied to by leftists. It's the worst thing. You know, someone on the right can realize they're being lied to by people on the right and say, I think these guys are lying to me. On the left, you're not allowed to do that. He'd lose his job. It's just a remarkable anecdote that's a greater revelation that these guys who have TV shows on these liberal networks can be misled and lied to, and then they will mislead and lie. And when they find the truth, they will run from it as quickly as possible, lest it shake their worldview, because God forbid he's shaken to the truth that it's not actually Israel forcing a genocide of Gaza and famine. It's Hamas itself doing it. The truth, however, will set you free. You know, Hillsdale College wants to learn where you stand on an issue. There are a number of states that have decided to do an interstate compact to alter the way the Electoral College performs. So mostly progressive states, although there were some Republican states for a while, including Georgia, that had considered it and thankfully rejected it, where they want their state to be bound by the national popular vote. So these states are passing laws saying it doesn't matter if our state votes for Donald Trump. If Joe Biden wins the popular vote, our state's Electoral College will be forced to vote for Joe Biden because they really think that Republicans aren't going to win the popular vote anymore, thanks to California and New York. Well, Hillsdale College wants to take your pulse on this and your temperature with a survey of presidential selection available at ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K. Do you think it's a good idea to do a national popular vote? Do you want to preserve the Electoral College? Hillsdale College is interested in your thinking. ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com. Go take their presidential selection survey at Hillsdale College and tell them what you think about the issue, how you align on presidential selection, and whether or not you think these left-wing states are doing it right by trying to align their states with the national popular vote. Go to Eric, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com today.
You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show, the perfect blend of news, analysis, opinion, and cooking. Yeah, cooking. Want to be on the show? Come on, be on the show. Call Eric now at 877-973-7425.
Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Ron Johnson from Wisconsin has been investigating District Attorney Fawny Willis in Fulton County, Georgia, who just won her reelection last night. He's going to join me at the top of the hour about her prosecution of Donald Trump in Georgia, what he and Chuck Grassley, senator from Iowa, are finding out. Right now, I want to take Matt's phone call. Matt, welcome to the show. How are you? Matt?
Matt? Hey, Eric. How's it going? I'm trying to get you on. Hey, Eric. How are you?
Great. What's going on?
Hey, I was calling because I've been listening to you for years, and one thing I learned from you is to always pay attention on Friday afternoons and see what gets dumped out in the news cycle. And I noticed that the DHS put out a worldwide terrorism alert, and I was wondering if you could kind of touch on that also with the Fawny Willis coming up at the top of the hour. I'd like to know if there's any chance that she's going to be facing criminal charges for what she's done.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I can tell you that there's really no one to charge her criminally on that one, so probably not. But on the other one, yes, Matt, the FBI has put out a warning, particularly to the Alphabet Gang community, that terrorists wish them ill will. And as Pride Month approaches and corporations across America go rainbow, they are worried about, you know, Queers for Palestine having a wake-up call that the Palestinians aren't exactly down with Queers for Palestine. And they are worried about Islamic extremists attacking a Western civilization during Pride Month. There do seem to be hints that something is coming. We may find out more on this with all these people. There's some crazy Bill Malugan video about people coming across from China, Iran, and the like. I'll play in the next hour. Right now, I got to tell you, Father's Day is coming, and Omaha Steaks is the place to go to get your dad something great for Father's Day. Omaha Steaks has amazing deals, and if at checkout you use my name as your promo code, E-R-I-C-K, you, my friends, can get incredible savings and deals from Omaha Steaks. So you can get steak, you can get seafood, pork chops, chicken, burgers, you name it. Your dad will have something so that your dad is happy. You want your dad to be happy for Father's Day, don't you? Don't dads love to grill? Don't dads love steak? Omaha Steaks loves grilling and steak, and they have 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. So if your dad's not happy, they're going to make your dad happy. It's one of the great reasons to do business with the folks at Omaha Steaks. Father's Day is coming up soon. Don't miss out. Go to omahasteaks.com today. Put Eric in, E-R-I-C-K, as your promo code at checkout, and get great deals from Omaha Steaks. Save some money and make your dad very happy. It's just what you get. Happiness and great steak from omahasteaks.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.